Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinth church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, any man who is in Christ is a new creature. All things have changed. Behold, all things have become new. Everything changes in that believer's life. And some of you are that are new believers, you comprehend that pretty well. You think, well, all right, everything in my life has changed because I've become a believer. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pull out your cell phone. All right, everybody, take out your cell phone. And I want you to open it up to the pictures, the photos, all right? And I want you to go in your photos, and I want you to scroll back. Oh, if you've only had a cell phone for a couple of years, go back to the beginning of your photos. But go back, if you can, 3 or 4 years. I want you to look at those pictures 3 or 4 years ago. Look at the people in the pictures. Look at yourself. Do you look different? Anybody see anything different? Look younger? Are you a kid in those pictures? How about your friends? Are your friends different than they were? Different then than they are now? Maybe there's some people that you're looking at in those pictures, and you go ahead and look at them, that's fine, that aren't in your life anymore because things have changed. Things are different. That happens to us. Change occurs all the time. It's always occurring in our lives, and there's always something different around every corner. You know, our culture is different than it was 5, 10 years ago. Our church is different than it was 5 or 10 years ago. Everything that you and I are involved in seems to be different than it was just a few years ago because things are constantly changed. Change happens, and you can't stop it. There's nothing you can do to stop change. It's going to occur. So that makes a big battle for a lot of people when we think, well, how are we going to deal with this? Because I don't like change. Most people do not really like change. They don't like to deal with it. They don't want to think about it. But think about the change that occurs in your life. First of all, you start school, maybe kindergarten or preschool. That's a little bit traumatic because you leave mom's side and no longer are you with mom all day. So now all of a sudden you're going to school and you're with this strange lady that's in preschool or in kindergarten. You don't know her. It's a little bit traumatizing. It was traumatizing for me when I went to kindergarten. And my parents told me the story that my teacher told us to take out a piece of paper. She gave us a piece of paper and pick a crayon and color a picture. Well, I took a crayon and I colored the entire sheet of paper black. So after 3 years of therapy, after dealing with that, no, not really. But they were like, what's wrong with this kid? I don't know. It was traumatic. I like being with my mom, you know, and being with her. And I don't know why I did black. I just like black. It's why I own a black truck. I thought it was a cool looking color. And so I just colored the whole thing black. But it is traumatic when you start to elementary school and kindergarten and listening to all the changes and seeing all the kids and all that's tough. So you get a little bit older, then you get into middle school, right? How many of you are going into the sixth grade? Anybody going into the sixth grade? All right. I don't think you're going into the sixth grade there, Spencer. All right. Again. But if you're going into sixth grade, you kind of feel like, you know, you're pretty tough. You've left elementary school. Now I'm in middle school and I'm the king. I'm until you get there. And then the eighth graders kind of, you know, deal with the eighth graders. And all of a sudden now you feel pretty small. But anybody here in the eighth grade? There we got some eighth graders. You guys are the boss of the school, aren't you? You run it. These guys run the school because they're in eighth grade and they're the boss. Well, so you're going into eighth. I mean, you just finished eighth or are you going into eighth? Which is it? Finish eighth. Okay. Warning. Change is coming. All right? Because you're going to go into high school and everything is different. And so that's change. Well, some of you have graduated. We've recognized graduates today. And that's cool. It's a lot of fun. You graduate from college and graduate from high school. And so this big change is coming on, but some of you are going to move off to a dorm. I know that Joel's going to go down to Southwest Baptist University, and so I know he's going to be living on campus. I don't believe he's going to be commuting 230 miles each way, but So you're going to wake up and your clothes are not going to be laid out for you. They're not going to be ironed. There's not going to be a bowl of cereal on the table for you for breakfast. No muffin from mom there waiting for you. So, and by the way, mom's not going to be there to wake you up. So you got to set your alarm and you have to go to class. It's required. You at Southwest Baptist, you have to go to chapel. If you don't go to chapel, you're not going to graduate. I'm just going to let you know that right now. You have to have those attendances. And mom's not there to do it. Dad's not there to remind you, to keep you in line. So it's going to be different. It's going to be a bit of an adjustment. Now, some of us are older and you've reached that point in your life where you've asked somebody to marry you, so you're getting married. Well, that's an exciting time, isn't marriage? It's a bit of a change, right? Now all of the habits that you used to in your family and the little languages that you use, because you're going to go into a family, they're going to speak a foreign language and they're going to do things weird and it's going to be different. So there's going to be that adjustment period. Unfortunately, some marriages end in divorce. That's a big change. It's tough. And we can pretend it doesn't exist, but it really does. And we've got to deal with that change. And if you know somebody who's gone through a divorce, it's tough on them. Tough on the family. And that's a major, major change. You get married and you're in love and everything's working out. The next thing you know, you got a little baby. They're so sweet. They're just so nice. But they cry. And they cry. And they cry. One of my children, and I'm not going to tell you which one it was, had colic. That's the worst word in the English language, all right? And this child, she cried from about 5 or 6 when I got home till bedtime. And so the only thing that would keep her from crying is holding her and bouncing her like this. So my right arm was like Popeye. My left arm was pretty weak. But we, you know, as long as we're bouncers, she quit crying. They're so sweet, though, but it brings change to your family. I mean, it's a huge different dynamic. Well, then that little child's going to grow up, and they're going to go off to college, and they're going to get married, and then you have an empty nest. So you get up, and you sit down at the breakfast table. You look across at a person that you haven't had a much of a conversation with in 20 years. And now what do you talk about? You know, that's a milestone for marriages, and some end at divorce when that happens because they don't know each other. Change. More change takes place. And then we bury loved ones. It's a major change. It's a tough adaptation. It's graduation time, and it is the time to think about all of that change. We look back at those pictures that we saw scrolling around a while ago, and wasn't Kara so cute when she's a little girl, you know, and then she grows up and everything's changing, right? Debbie and David, and everything's getting different. Well, we're going to talk about change a great deal today, but like I said, most people don't like change. But I want you to turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Now, when we look at Joshua chapter 1, we're looking at a biblical change that's already taken place in the scriptures. Because you've got the 5 books of the Pentateuch, or the law, and then you've got the 6th book of the Bible, which is Joshua. So if you have trouble finding that book in the Bible, I just told you it's the 6th book, all right? So what happened here is we're going from Moses and the law to Joshua and Jewish history. It's all part of Jewish history, but it's called history. We'll get into that now. So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. I want to read to you because it's traumatic. The first words that we read just kind of is tough to swallow. Here's what the Bible says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Boy, it starts out rough. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land of which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. I want you to notice that. I have given you. Not I'm going to give you, I have given to you. It's stated as if it's already taken place. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Second time, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, third time he says this, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. God, we pray that you add your blessing to the reading of the word today. Help us, Lord, to comprehend a little bit of what Joshua was going through and what he was experiencing, what he was facing. Lord, as he's mourning the death of his loved one, he's looking toward the future. Help us to see the changes and the challenges that are before us today. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Joshua, obviously he knew that Moses was dead. So we don't know if Joshua has gone to his tent to pout. We don't know if he's mourning. We don't know if he's just depressed. We don't know what's going through his mind or how he's dealing with this. But all of a sudden the voice of God, Joshua, Joshua, I'm calling you. And it's like, I'm going to add a few words. As if you haven't noticed it, Moses, my servant, is dead. Wow, let that sink in for a little while. Moses, my servant, is dead. And he said, get up and go over Jordan and capture the lands that I have already given to you. So we're going to look at five simple things today. Number one is, it's time for new leadership. Actually, really, it's time for leadership. Not that Moses wasn't a leader, but God doesn't look at us and say, okay, so now this big change is happening in your life and you're going to do this now. So it's new leadership. No, no. He looks at us and says, it's time for leadership. Now, those were hard words for Joshua to hear. They're hard words to hear because he loved Moses. He followed Moses. That was the only leadership he knew. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and had led them through the desert, through rebellion, and led them up to the Jordan River. And Moses wasn't going to go any further. That's as far as God was going to take the leadership of Moses. So that leadership of Moses has come to an end. And when his leadership came to an end, his life came to an end. God said, Moses, you've been a great servant. Thank you for all your help. Time to take you into glory. Fold your hands, close your eyes. You're going to now step into glory. He died. And so the blunt words of God to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Things changed drastically and suddenly. So was Joshua ready for this? Probably not as ready as he would like to be. So there's five things that we see about this. Number one, Joshua had to step up. He had to step up. Arise, God said. Go over Jordan. Arise and go over this Jordan. Now, the Jordan was a river, and it's not huge, but they were obviously standing there looking at that river and thinking, we got to go to the other side because that's where the action is going to take place. That's where everything's going to happen. That's the land that God promised us on the other side of Jordan. So the first thing that God said to Joshua is, get up. Sometimes we just need a little kick in the pants. Get up. Get busy. It's time to go. Look, quit pouting, quit worrying, quit thinking about all these things. Moses is dead. So it's time for new leadership. He had to step up. The second thing is he had to learn more because he's been watching Moses all this time. And no doubt, he's been greatly educated by Moses, by all the teaching, all the leadership of Moses, because there were times that Moses got frustrated and said, God, why didn't you just leave us over there where we were? I'm tired of dealing with these people. They're hard to deal with. There's time that Moses lost his temper. There were times that Moses didn't trust God. But look at all the good things. Hopefully, Joshua's learned from all those mistakes, but he's also learned from the successes of Moses. When he held his arms up, held the staff up, and the Red Sea parted, and they went across on dry land. When they went through the desert and all the, you know, there was manna provided, there was water provided, all the things. And you know, Joshua's watching all this and he's learning from it all. He had to learn more. Joshua also had to do more. It's easy when somebody else is taking the lead and we just kind of sit back and say, okay, I'll pick up the pieces, I'll sweep up after them, I'll do these things. But when that person that was leading and you're kind of cleaning up after, or you're following, or you're working beneath is gone, you're going to have to do more. So, guys, here's what God was saying. And here's what I believe God is saying to every one of you graduates. It's time to get up. It's time to learn, obviously. And now it's going to be time to do more. What that means is you're going to take on a lot more responsibility than what you've had. Life just got a little bit more serious. Now, Joey's going into Marines. No responsibility there, right? Nobody going to wake you up in the morning, is it? Are they, Joey? No, I don't. I think it's going to be quiet. You're going to have a wake up call every morning, and people are going to be calling on you, and they're going to be giving you orders. And so there's responsibility that is going on here. Joshua, here's what happened, and Joey's a perfect picture about it. Joshua stepped out of his comfort zone. Joshua stepped out of his comfort zone. You know, they call it comfort zone for a reason. It's comfortable. Now, I've never been to the Marines, Joey, but I have watched Gomer Pyle. It's a show that was on many, many years ago. So that qualifies me. Sergeant Carter's going to be screaming in your face. You know, I'm assuming by everything I've heard and read and heard from people about this is that it's not going to be a comfort zone going through boot camp. I got a feeling, and by the way, if you think, well, I'm not going to the Marines, I'm just going to college. Hey, listen, those first few weeks of college, there's so much learning to go on and so much adaptation, and everything's going to be different. And it doesn't matter if you've already been through college, maybe you have a new job or a new marriage. There's adaptation, there's learning that's taken place, there's greater responsibility, and in many ways, you're going to step out of your comfort zone. It's happening. Okay, here's the bottom line. Joshua had to grow up. Wouldn't it be great to be a 10-year-old for the rest of your life? You don't have to worry about somebody putting food on the table. You don't have to worry about the heating, the cooling. You don't have to worry about the house breaking or blowing away. Or you don't have to worry about making food. You just sit down at the dinner table and there's magically food there. Don't know where it comes from. Don't know who's paying for it. You go to bed at night and the house is dry, it's cool, or it's warm. You don't ever worry, is that roof going to leak? Is it going to fall in? You just don't worry about it. Wouldn't it be great to do that for the rest of life? You can't do that. You can't. You see, what Joshua was hearing God saying was, blah, 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 grow up, Joshua. He had to grow up. Time for new leadership. It's also time for new adventures. Here's what he said in verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, new adventures can be exciting, and they can be scary too. Some new adventures take us to places that we are a little, like I said, out of your comfort zone with, and it frightens us a little bit. But so what God is saying to Joshua, I said, look, you're going to have to get up and do all these things. And you're going on, he said, every place a sole of your foot will tread. In other words, you're going to have to be traveling a little bit. There's going to be new adventures. There's going to be, status quo is no more. It doesn't exist. Everything is going to become different. So there's going to be work to do. You're going to have to get up in the morning. You're going to work hard. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to prepare. You're going to have to watch a calendar because, you know, when you start off to college, everything is you know, a little bit simpler because you have teachers and your parents that reminded you about assignments that are being due. In college, that's not necessarily the truth. You might have some professors who are kind enough to remind you, but in all, they're basically going to say to you, hey, you know the due date, have it done. I had a professor in college, couldn't stand this guy. But he taught me well. But he'd stand up right before the final and said, okay, the final is next week. And on the final is going to be everything I said, everything that was in every assigned book that you may or may not have read, everything that I meant to say and forgot to say. It's all going to be in the final. And you know what? It was. He wasn't kidding. So there's going to be work to do. There's going to be land to possess, land to conquer. There's going to be blessings to be gained. It's going to be a great time. I mean, the changes that are in your life, we can, you know, God is with us every step of the way. He told us, he reminded Joshua three times that he's going to be there. So there's going to be some exciting times. Even, I want you to get this, even in the dark times, even in the dark situations, the new adventures can be exciting because you're blazing a new trail and things are going to be different. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. It's going to sound different. But here's the key. Number three, it's time for God's presence as well. So if you're going to be a new leader, and you're going to face new adventures, don't do this by yourself. The most common time, this is where I really want you guys to listen. The most common time for people to begin to neglect God, get out of church, and their spiritual life go awry is when they go off to college. Did you hear that? The most common time for people to get out of church happens when they go off to college. So you know this now. And you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to make something different. God's presence is so incredibly important when you're going through change. Don't try to go through change alone. Don't try to do it. Whether you're going off to college or starting into high school or middle school or you're getting married or you're having babies, don't try to do it alone. Always do it with God's presence. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do you know where the most successful place in the world is? The most successful place in the world for a believer is to be in the center of God's will. It's the safest place. And it's the most successful place to be in the center of God's will. So as you're making these plans for college and marriage and having babies and all this kind of stuff, always, always involve God. Consult God. Make God a part of that. See, God had promised them. Here's what he promised. He promised them success. Again, no one shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. God promised them success. Now, I don't want you to confuse what I'm saying here. I'm saying God promises us, when we're in the center of God's will, success. I did not say that God promises us riches. God didn't promise that you're going to be wealthy. He didn't promise that I'm going to be wealthy. He didn't promise I'm going to have $100,000 extra laying in the bank even when I retire. But he did promise that if I'm in the center of his will, I will have success. Not riches, but success. We define success incorrectly most of the time because we listen to the world's definition of success. Success is knowing the will of God and successfully implementing it and doing it. Being where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, and being faithful to God with God's presence. Now, there's a part of this story that we tend to jump over a little bit. As God promised success, he also promised something else. He promised that there's going to be battles. Shortly into our study, if you look just a couple chapters away, we see in chapter 3, Israel is crossing, Joshua and the people are crossing the Jordan River. Right after they cross the Jordan River, it's not long, they have a worship service, and then they go through these worship ordinances that God has given them to do. And then we see in chapter 6 that they go to battle. And God says, I want you to watch me. I want you to see what I do. So they destroy the city of Jericho, this incredible city. Why? Because they're doing everything God told them to do. Read the story. Everything God told them to do, exactly how God told them to do it. Now they get a little confident, self-confident, not God-confident, self-confident. And so then now they move to another little insignificant little city in chapter 7 called Ai. But this time, somebody in the camp, by the way, somebody in the camp can destroy everybody in the camp. Somebody in the camp decided that they're going to do things their way. They decided not to obey completely God's will. Men died, and they lost their first battle. They lost their battle. Why? Because they were not obeying God's will. All right. So there's going to be new leadership necessary. There's going to be adventures that are going to be taking place. You're going to have success if you're in the center of God's will. But number 4, it's a time for courage. It's a scary world. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. He just keeps repeating this to them. Be strong and of good courage. Do you know why he keeps repeating this to them? Because they're going to need to hear it over and over and over and over again. They need to write it down somewhere. Maybe they will take out a sticky note and write it and put it on their Frigidaire, you know, their desert Frigidaire as they're going through. I know, but they have to know it. They have to remember this. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide. The people that you're leading, Joshua, you're going to divide an inheritance of the land that you haven't even gone to yet. But I swore to their fathers that I was going to give it to them. And I am God, and I keep my word. So he says, be strong. You know, just be strong and stay in the battle and stay in the fight. Be courageous. Don't let the enemy scare you. Don't let the enemy frighten you. That's why that Jericho win was so important, that they could see the great things that God did when he brought down that great wall and defeated them with such insignificant tools. Be courageous, but don't fail to trust God. So here's what trusting God is. Trusting God is taking chances in that you're stepping out on faith. Don't always do the non-faith thing. Now, with life, we do safe things. But when God says, go here, you go there. Even if it seems like it's not the safest place to be. Because remember, where is the safest place to be as a believer? In the center of God's will. The safest place to be is in the center of God's will. Trust God and step out on faith. All right, number 5. It's time to obey God. You can't afford not to obey God when you're following God. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. It's the third time. Like they weren't listening. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of which Moses, my servant, commanded you. He commanded him, do it. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Talking about the word of God. Don't let it depart. He says, from your mouth. It's interesting because the word that we get the word Bible from, that comes from the scripture, actually the Greek word is logos, which is the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God. So we take the word of God, we put it in through our eyes, it goes into our brains. Don't let it stop there. Let it come out your mouth. Speak the word of God. Let it not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Think about it. Day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, did you get that? Then you will make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. Obeying God, it takes courage. It takes knowledge, knowing the word of God. It takes obedience, obeying the word of God. It takes retention. We retain the word of God. We remember what we've read and we think about it often. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, some of Moses' teachings, they talked about the phylacteries, where they would actually put the scripture in a little box and put it on their head or on their wrist. They'd write on the doorpost of their house. They would have these things written where they would constantly be reminded that this is the word of God. Retain, remember the word of God. It's no accident that Luke Perstrup gave you guys a Bible today. He didn't give you a dictionary. He didn't give you a history, world history book, although that's what it is. He didn't give you a nice movie to watch, a book of poems. He gave you the word of God. If you may not understand it now, and if you question or doubt right now, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a time where you're going to go, wow, I wish I'd taken that more seriously. The word of God. You know, changes are tough to deal with. You and I are dealing with changes all the time. They're coming, they're going, all these things happening. And we react differently to changes. But what I want you to think about today, here's how I want you to react to this coming change. If you knew someone's come to hit you in the back of the head, you'd turn around so fast and get yourself ready, wouldn't you? If you knew that your home was going to be robbed tonight, you would be ready to deal with an intruder. You'd be ready for it. I'm telling you right now, the Word of God has told us that change is coming and we need to prepare for change. It doesn't matter if you're going off to high school or you're going off to middle school or you're going off to college. Change is coming to every single one of our lives. I can guarantee you this. If the Lord hasn't come and called us home 5 years or 10 years from now, you and I will be doing things differently. It'll be a different world. We'll have different political leaders, different government maybe. But change is occurring. Remember, where is it? The safest, most content place to be in all the world for a believer is in the very center of God's will. Let me ask you a question. Will you do that? Will you get in the very center of God's will? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Would you do that? If you don't have a foundation rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only do you not have an eternal home in heaven, your life, your future is in shambles. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. You need to determine to follow Him. We ought to fill these stairs when the time of invitation or decision has come. We ought to fill these stairs. We ought to be praying for our future. We ought to be praying for our country. We ought to be praying for each other. Because I can guarantee you one thing. Tomorrow and the next day is going to be different. Promise you. Would you do that? Would you please consider the invitation not from me, but from God? Is the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart? Let's pray. God, I pray that you be with us right now, Lord. Lord, as the Holy Spirit's dealing with hearts, and moving among us. Lord, I pray that we respond accordingly, that we choose to follow God in all that we do. Lord, help us to find that successful place, that place of contentment that only exists in the center of God's will. Lord, and I pray everybody in here makes that decision today. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.